right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a just a not so good hair day for me, it looks like. What is that? What? I look like a fingerprint dusting brush. What is that all about? And what is all that noise in the background? Why does it sound like we have construction going on in the background? What is that? Hello? What is that? Stop the hammering. Have you ever seen...
No, it's very loud.
Now, can you mute your microphone real quick? Let me see some. Just by process of elimination, go ahead and do that. Try that. Yeah. Are you completely muted now on both those lines? You are? Can you mute right now? What is this? What is going on? You know what? Listen, this is crazy, okay? I got John Brennan in my ears right now. That's okay, though. We're going to move forward, I think.
I don't know. It's pretty loud.
That's really loud. All right, do me a favor. Disconnect Zoom over there. Disconnect Zoom. Watch this. Did you disconnect Zoom? Did you shut down Zoom? We got that going on? Huh? The backline Zoom. It's disconnect. What is going on right now?
Is your phone open?
My phone? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you guys, this is crazy. Seriously. I mean, what if you're walking down the street eating a tuna fish sandwich thinking of Jesus and somebody's, right? And it sounds like, I mean, they're going to start swinging hammers. There's construction workers in the background. What is this? Huh? What is that? We have some line open right now that is... That's craziness, isn't it?
Yeah. It's probably very loud on locals.
Can you hear this crap?
If it's a back line.
Huh? Hello? Hi. Backline is not open. I got everything muted over here. Do you hear it just go like... It sounds like it's on a John Brennan loop.
I have muted my mic several times, and it's still... So it's not my mic.
Mm-hmm. Do you hear that? We got Vietnamese chicks in the background, okay? Do you agree with me?
Yeah, it's like...
Diddy Mao.
Weird.
She's saying Diddy Mao. Isn't she? I'll send that one. There you go. Okay, you guys, we got to fix this. This is nuttiness.
Oh, yeah, there's no way
we can. Do we have Nathan on the back line right now? Yeah, because it's not the back line. Can everybody hear that stuff over on locals? That was interesting. Mm-hmm. And we got noise going out over, aren't we? Is there noise in the background? We're literally sending noise right now, but this is what I'll do. Yep, you see it? Watch. You hear that? You see that? See that noise right there? Watch. Audio mixer. That's what I'm going to do. You guys, you're just going to have to bear with me. Just, it's John Brennan. Yes, it is. Okay? Noise reduction. De-esser. De-esser. Delay, EQ, limiter. Noise reduction. Wow. Even with the noise reduction, it's not limiting. It's not, it should be zero. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's sending out some gibberish right here. How does the sound quality sound, folks? We literally had John Brennan in the computer. There was a loop. There was an endless loop of, it was like demonic spirits flying around in a Cessna.
Mm. Right? It was like so loud.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? What was that? Okay, Deb Jordan, you ready? Huh? Oh, no. Now, what is that? Why did it just... Are you serious? Huh? Why is that happening to my microphone? Did the volume change dramatically?
Oh.
Yeah, just for a second. You know, this is just what we got to do. We had to fix that because it was horrifying. It sounded like demons flying a Cessna.
It was so loud.
Right?
Yeah. It was so
I could hear what they were saying.
You could?
Yes. They were picking a landing spot to get French fries.
Oh, okay. I would just heard a bunch of gibberish happening, and every once in a while was like an orchestra was getting ready to start. It was crazy.
It's wild. Yeah. All right, listen, let's get right into this. You ready?
Yeah.
It's 9/11. We're going to pop to a couple of 9/11 things. All right? We are.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pop to a couple of 9/11 things. I discovered right before I came into the webinar, I haven't stopped, by the way. I've been in the seat. My coolie cheeks are hurting. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know.
Some kegels.
Yeah. Huh? Kegels.
Kegels?
Yeah.
Is that what you call them?
Kegels.
What is that?
Kegels.
What was that? Are you messing around over there?
No. Nobody's touching anything.
What is happening? Why is my stuff fading out? Is my board to crack? My board, maybe? It's about to go out? Okay. No. So this is what we have. Right before I came on for the webinar at 3:00 Eastern.
Yeah.
I discovered, because Deb Jordan played this, I never heard of such a thing. And she turned to me and said, "Hey, Pete, guess what? President Trump predicted 9/11. 19 months.
Yeah, almost
before 9/11.
Yeah, almost 2 years or a year and a half.
And I said, no way.
Yeah.
So even hearing these people say it, which is like in our favor, okay?
Yeah.
I still didn't believe it.
It was pretty shocking.
I downloaded the Kindle version of his book because his President Trump wrote it. So that's
right.
Cool. I never even knew he wrote that book.
I didn't either. And okay. Now we own it. Yeah.
And guess what? In that book, he predicted 9/11 with absolute specificity.
It's crazy.
Like Kim Clement style.
I was like,
as a prophet.
No way. Yeah.
I mean, it was with specificity. Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm going to do. Why don't you go ahead and put up my shot here on my side, if you don't mind. Because I don't even know what Nathan has at his side for right now, it's probably easier. Here we go.
BuzzFeed dug up an old quote from Donald Trump talking about a large-scale terror attack 19 months before 9/11. In his 2000 book, The America We Deserve, Trump wrote, "I really am convinced we're in danger of the sort of terrorist attacks that will make the bombing of the 1993 Trade Center look like little kids playing with firecrackers." Trump also mentioned the mastermind of the attack, writing, quote, "One day, we're told that a shadowy figure with no fixed address named Osama bin Laden is public enemy number one, and U.S. jet fighters lay waste to his camp in Afghanistan. He escapes back under some rock, and a few news cycles later, it's on to a new enemy and a new crisis."
Trump. Wait. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Is this really Trump before 9/11? Have you read this?
It's 2000 in his book.
Are we making this? Somebody, did you make this up, Mika?
Nick.
I did.
Did you make this up?
Nick,
exactly.
Tell us it's over, right? Because
will you're
wrong
stop?
About everything.
Mika, stop. God.
I don't think it's over.
What's that? What's the rage here? Will you stop?
No, it's cute. I think it's cute.
Well, yeah, go for it. No, really quickly, though. I mean, so Willie, that was
2000.
In a book he wrote in the year 2000.
Yeah. Well, it was published in 2000. He could have written in 1999 for all
exactly.
We know.
He might have been a bit more precious.
So he basically predicted the attacks from a.
And that's what they said. He predicted the attacks. Hmm. Then I went to the book and I confirmed what they said. In two places. And when I say with specificity, did you guys hear it? Well, it's just stunning the first time you hear it.
It is.
Right?
I was stunned.
Yeah. So here I'm gonna read it to you right from his book. And his book is titled Trump, The America We Deserve. Okay. Now his first reference is to the Trade Center towers.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
All right. So, first off, as I said, I really am convinced we're in danger of the sort of terrorist attacks that will make the bombing of the Trade Center look like kids play with firecrackers. No sensible analyst rejects this possibility, and plenty of them, like me, are not wondering if but when they will happen. Nor is there any doubt that when people are under attack or fear societal mayhem of any type, their priorities are not on investing. Their minds are going to be on digging in and surviving, and this attitude will have a major economic consequence. He said that. Mm-hmm. Spot on. That was spot on. All right. And then his references to Osama bin Laden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Osama bin Laden? He refers to Osama bin Laden in the following context. One day, we're all assured that Iraq is under control. The UN inspectors have done their job. Everything's fine. Not to worry. The next day, the bombing begins, right? One day, we're told that a shadowy figure with no fixed address named Osama bin Laden is public enemy number one, and U.S. jet fighters lay waste to his camp in Afghanistan. He escapes back under some rock, and a few news cycles later, it's on to a new enemy and a new crisis.
Mm.
This is, now remember, CNN said that Osama bin Laden was public enemy number one. Remember, they went to interview him. They knew exactly where he was.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
CNN was meeting with Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Giving him a voice.
Yes.
Putting him on blast.
Yeah.
They just happened to know exactly where he was.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody else could find him.
No.
But CNN.
And Trump looked at that and said, oh, hold on a second. He's public enemy number one, CNN. Oh, wait. And he said that is exactly what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then 9/11 came. Okay. 9/11 came, and if you could, Nathan, play the, if you don't have it right away, just let me know, because I have it right here, the Greg Reese Building 7 video. You have that one? Yep, here we go. I want you guys to pay attention, all right? I am, again, every year, I'm starting to get upset with humanity more so than the perpetrators now. Why is that? I mean, human beings just, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know. What is it? Is it like pigs in the trough to the slaughterhouse? Right? I mean, you know, I mean, even pigs in the slaughterhouse, you know what they do, right? At the front of the line?
Mm-hmm.
They yell back to all their friends.
Yes.
They try to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And they yell back to all their friends just to warn them. And all of a sudden they start going crazy. I've watched it happen. They're like, oh no, don't go. Everybody try. They're trying to turn around, right? Because they're literally on this thing. Their head goes in and, you know, they get there, right? They get strung up and then they're just bleeding out this little circular merry-go-round thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're screaming to their friends not to come in. And the pigs in the back, they want to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even do that. We just like sit in the trough. We say, well, what are we going to do? We can't do anything. Nothing's going to get done. Nothing's going to get done. Nothing ever gets done. While you sit there and slow cook into oblivion, nothing ever gets done. They know they can do that because all you're going to do is just sit there and say, nothing ever gets done. Nothing ever gets done. Nobody will do anything. Right? Isn't that what everybody says?
Mm-hmm.
If I were the perpetrator of these crimes and I heard that from a bunch of dumb people, right? That's how they think of us. Like, we're a bunch of dumb people. We won't even save ourselves.
That's what they think of us, yes.
That's what they think of us, right.
Mm-hmm.
I would love being the perpetrator. Maybe I'm in the wrong freaking job. You know what I should do? I should just start blowing up World Trade Center 7.
Oh, man, you'd get in so much trouble.
Why not?
Because you...
Me and Larry Silverstein, we can make a buck.
Because it's illegal.
What do you mean it's illegal?
For you to do.
For me to do it, it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
What about for Larry Silverstein?
Oh, no.
Okay, let's go. Let's go with it. Here we
go. He gets a pass.
Here we go. Let's let's go with it. We're going to send it. Okay, yeah. We got a break coming up.
We have to do the break to stay on clock. You're okay.
We will. We will stay mm-hmm. on break. I will open up this. We'll come back with Greg Reese.
John Ritzheimer, and you are listening to the Pete Santilli Show.
Introducing the Portal Universe only on QUX. This is America's first super app. Easily build your portal, share and monetize video content, live stream, products, music apps, and more. Engage in live chats and private video messaging. This isn't just a TV box or streaming device. This is your social television console. Become a merchant without any setup or monthly fees. Buy and sell using QUX tokens for private and secure encrypted transactions. You control the ads you watch. You control the content you see. You have easy access to products and services you want, all at the press of a button. QUX brings people together, enhances fellowship, community, and networking capabilities, while protecting privacy like never before. Don't wait. Go to QUX.TV right now and order your QUX TV box today using promo code PETE. Be part of a new digital frontier.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money. and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
Be sure to tell him Pete Santilli sent you.
I'm excited to announce that you've all made MyPillow 2.0 a huge success. And with your amazing support, we've been able to expand MyPillow's USA manufacturing and jobs. And to make room for this, we're clearing out a line of our Percale bed sheets. And to thank you, I'm bringing them to you at closeout prices. Use your promo code and you get my king size for only $39 a set. Queens, $35, fulls, $29, and twin size, just $25. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know that we've received the last two shipments of these Percale bed sheets, and because of this, I've been able to add more colors, sizes, and even prints, and they're still at closeout prices. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code and you'll get my king size, only $39 a set, queens $35, full $29, and twin size just $25. Order now. Once they're gone for good.
Cardio Miracle is the finest and most comprehensive nitric oxide and vitamin D supplement in the world. Made from the highest quality ingredients, Cardio Miracle is driven and backed by science and committed to your health and well-being. Get your 60-day, no-risk, money-back guarantee now at CardioMiracle.com.
Are you prepared for life's unexpected twists and turns? Lockdowns, natural disasters, power outages, or any situation that makes it tough to get your hands on a good meal? Time waits for no one, and neither do emergencies. PetePrepStore.com is the ultimate in long-term emergency food preparedness and supplies. You're not just buying food, you're buying peace of mind. Our meals are designed to be nutritious, delicious, and have a 25-year shelf life. Yes, you heard that right. 25 years. We source high-quality non-GMO ingredients and use advanced freeze-drying technology to lock in taste and nutrients. Forget last-minute runs to the grocery store. Pete Prep Store is a click away and delivers right to your doorstep. Why risk the well-being of you and your loved ones? With Pete Prep Store, you're always prepared. Make the smart choice today. Visit PetePrepStore.com and place your order today. This isn't just food. It's your lifeline in times of crisis. Don't wait for an emergency to prepare. Be proactive. PetePrepStore.com. Be prepared. Be secure. Be ready. Always.
Hi, I'm Ron Paul. I know what you're thinking. Another gold commercial. But don't put the TV on mute. You owe it to yourself to listen. Stock markets may be high right now, but they'll eventually fall. And when they do, your retirement savings will fall along with them. Call the experts at Goldco today to learn more about how easy it is to invest in gold with a gold IRA.
Call 855-614-1681 or visit goldco.com/Pete.
Huh?
He wanted to come down here tonight.
Oh. Hold up. All right, we're going to Greg Reese right now. Just go right into it. Yeah. Everybody stay right there. We're going to play this Greg Reese piece. Everybody take it in. World Trade Center 7. Just a little snippet of the criminality.
It would take hours to go over all the evidence which proves that the attack on September 11th, 2001 was an inside job, and I suggest you look into it if you haven't already. But to simplify the situation, all you need to do is look at Building 7. What some people still don't realize is that there were three buildings that fell into their own footprint that day. Three buildings that fell at free fall speed, indistinguishable from controlled demolitions, because that's exactly what they were. As the towers came crashing down, we can see the signatures of a controlled demolition. The official story is that Building 7, known as 7 World Trade Center, caught fire as a result of debris from the Twin Towers, which somehow caused a critical internal column to break, causing a cascading failure and collapse. And if this nonsensical official narrative were true, it would make it the first and only steel skyscraper in the world to collapse from fires. The building's owner, Larry Silverstein, took control of the Twin Towers just weeks before 9/11 and had them insured to cover terrorist attacks. After Building 7 collapsed, Silverstein told the media that the decision was made to pull it, suggesting that the building was collapsed on purpose.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. And the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull it. And then we watched the building collapse.
This implies that they somehow rigged the explosives that afternoon while the building was still burning, which is ridiculous. And so the media dismissed his comments and changed their story. There were several witnesses who reported hearing and feeling the type of explosions one would expect from a controlled demolition.
You heard explosions, like boom. It's like a distinct sound.
Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor.
Somebody grabbed my shoulder and I started running, and the shit's hitting the ground behind me. And the whole time you're hearing boom, 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 boom. So, I think I know an explosion when I hear it.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse?
To me it sounded like an explosion.
The explosions were captured on video.
You want to call your mother or something?
In fact, you were just told by police that you should move out of your apartment, Tatiana. You've got Carolina here. They advised us to leave because we had, oh my God.
First responders were told that the building was going to be blown up.
Oh, boy.
Can you hear that?
If you're in that building, it'll be coming down.
And you guys knew this was coming all day.
We had heard reports that the building was unstable and that eventually would either come down on its own or it would be taken down.
The BBC reported live on air that the building already collapsed before it did. Television viewers could see it in the background still standing.
Ago was talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing, and indeed it has. Apparently that's only a few hundred yards away from where the World Trade Center towers were, and it seems that this was not a result of a new attack. It was because the building had been weakened.
And the investigation never even investigated for explosives. The Republican White House then signed into law the Patriot Act, which allowed the next Democrat White House to target U.S. civilians as if they were domestic terrorists. And they amended the Defense Authorization Act, which allowed the next Republican White House to experiment on the American people with deadly gene therapy and nanotech vaccines. The same people who did 9/11 are pulling off the climate hoax and the deadly COVID shots. They run both parties of our government. Many have forgotten, and it's time to wake up before they kill us all. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Come back to me. It doesn't end there. Nathan, I'm going to load them up there on next shots, okay? Now, Sean, all right, who was born after 9/11, you are? A few months? Or, okay, yep, Sean was born just a few months before 9/11. Sorry about that. I should know that, shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me share with you some additional things as to what, for instance, the Israelis did. Let me go down. Let's see.
Well, These are not these are Palestinians.
Palestinians, sorry.
That day, this is what they did. They were filmed doing the Palestinians and Jerusalem.
Jerusalem Palestinians, that's right. That's what it is. There's number one. Oh, are we not sorting by number? Okay. Somebody change that. Oh my God. Short number. Okay. Oh my God. Huh? You know who changed the sort? Huh? Oh, I know why. There we go. Okay, here it is. Ready? Let's go with this.
Atmosphere, the V sign from victory being displayed in East Jerusalem today among jubilant Palestinians that the United States had been subject to this attack. What are we to make of that, Jennifer? Yasser Arafat may issue this condemnation. Look at this. We're seeing people applauding, clapping, smiling, happy to know that thousands of Americans have died in this sneak attack. And there you see a V for victory sign held up to the camera. What are we to make of that, and what are we to make of what about what Yasser Arafat said today?
The United States, blamed by some Palestinians for its ongoing support, as it is seen, of Israel in this conflict, in this Middle Eastern conflict. However, while some Palestinians were taking to the streets in apparent celebration, one youth was quoted as saying, as he received a sweets handed around in celebration, "This is a sweet from Osama bin Laden," he said.
Pat Dawson,
back to you.
Pat Dawson, thanks very much. We have some videotape, I understand, that we're going to show you from the West Bank. These are Palestinian celebrations in the wake of Tuesday's terror attacks in the United States. Apparently, Palestinians took to the street chanting, "God is great." People were throwing candy, distributing candy to passersby. The U.S. government obviously has become increasingly unpopular, particularly in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, because Palestinians feel that the U.S. government has sided with Israel. One man, Nawal Abdel Fattah, wearing a long black dress, threw sweets in the air saying, actually that's a woman, pardon me, saying she was happy because, quote, "America is the head of the snake. America always stands by Israel in its war against us." Meanwhile, Yasser Arafat emerged to speak with reporters.
I want to continue on, Nathan, if we could. I want to bring and the ones up there at the top. Okay. I want you to go with those. This next one that we're doing, as a member of the student government in Missouri, was filmed gathering U.S. flags from a 911 mm-hmm. memorial and then throwing them away. Go to that clip.
Now, he holds a high position in the student body at this university. And he goes on, after you guys see what he did, he goes on his own Instagram, Pete, and he says in a long tirade that he did it because 9/11 memorials and the remembrance of 9/11 does nothing but instigate Islamophobia. So it's still happening, right?
Okay.
What's up? Who are you? Okay. Kind of weird when some random person just walks up and photographs you.
Mm-hmm. So he took all of the American flags that were positioned out in a memorial display for 9/11, and he threw them in the garbage.
Okay, so there you have it. Now, the next one we're going to play is a retro interview, right? It's Trump on the 9/11 interview after the attack. Let's listen to President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this one. It was epic.
I do too.
I watched this live.
Donald, what do you think about all this? You're a developer. You've built buildings all your life.
Well, there's never been anything like this. It's disgraceful. And I hope we attack fast. I hope we find out who it is and go fast. Okay.
Thanks. Why do you want to come down here today?
I have about 100 men working down here, so just to spur them on. Hi, folks. Hi, folks. I have over 100 men out, and I hear doing an amazing job, so I just want to give them some support. Yeah, men from my company. We have another 100 coming in a little while.
And how long have they been down here?
They've been down here for about a day and a half.
What, have you talked to other developers? Are they donating their time, their men's work?
Well, I hope they are. I haven't really focused on that, but we have a lot of people coming down here and a lot of people down here now, and they're brave guys. A couple of them got hurt, but I'm just want to spur them on a little bit.
What did you think when you heard about that?
I was just down to Ground Zero. Ground Zero is a disaster. I've never seen anything like this. I hope we act very quickly. I hope we find out who did it and act accordingly.
Mister,
and quickly.
Do you have any plans to donate money to the Widows and Children's Fund for the fallen firefighters?
We've certainly been. I've done it over the years, and it certainly sounds like a good idea.
All right. Where's that? Was that a retro interview? Was that the same?
Yeah, it's the same. There's two. One was at from a different angle. That's all.
It was. Can we play that other one? Mm-hmm. We had two. Can you do that? Let's go. I want to see that on this 9/11. I want to see it.
That tape, you can see what he had to say.
Well, I've never seen anything like it. I've seen two huge 110-story buildings that are reduced to rubble, thousands and thousands of lives. I just got to see something that I've never seen before. I have hundreds of men inside working right now, and we're bringing down another 125 in a little while, and they've never done work like this before. And they're hardworking people, but they've never seen anything like it, and they've never done work like this before. It's terrible.
Tell me what it's like at Ground Zero. Tell me about the workers that you saw and what they're doing there.
Well, not only is it devastation, but it's very dangerous because every few minutes a whistle would go off and everybody would just run because you have all the buildings around it, which are in such a weakened state that people just don't know. And so they just have to take off. And then they come back and they're working under 50-story buildings that you don't know if they're going to fall down. So it's a terrible thing for the workers, and it's a terrible thing for the world, really.
How have you spoken to any of your men? Do you know how they're reacting to this? Because emotionally, this must be so incredibly difficult.
Well, there are a lot of them, but they've never seen bodies like this. I mean, the bodies all over. The great thing is when they find somebody that's alive, like the five firemen that they just found a little while ago. So that's the great thing, and that's what they're all striving for. But generally speaking, that's not what the case. That's not the case. So they are working very, very hard, but it's a very depressing situation for these folks.
As you walked around and as you saw the piles of rubble, there are thousands of families out there who are hoping that someone might be in a pocket somewhere, still alive, still breathing, waiting to be dug up. As you assess that damage from your perspective, do you believe that's possible?
Well, I would certainly not want to be the one to say it's not possible. Certainly it's a tough situation, but you can't give up hope because there's always hope. I mean, the five men, I'm sure their families thought that they probably were gone, and now they walk in the door. A couple of them walked away after they were dug out. So there probably are some more people in there, and therefore you can't give up hope.
You've had an impact on the skyline of New York. What is it like as you see it now?
It's like a whole different skyline. It's like a whole different city and world. I cannot believe the sight of Lower Manhattan without the World Trade Center, and therefore we have to rebuild.
He was so...
Isn't that amazing?
So solid, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. And do you know what he did?
Right,
he
Rudy Giuliani, President Trump, all of them holding us together. I mean, it was a horrifying... It doesn't matter who you think did it or didn't do it. I mean, it's a horrifying event. I mean, we could
regardless
put the blame on Osama bin Laden
done,
or Dick
right?
Cheney, you know. Mm-hmm. Regardless, we had to go through that.
Yeah.
And they led us through that. He was ice. I remember watching that interview.
Yes.
I watched we all did.
We all did.
We all watched it.
Yeah. So when he became president, he kept a promise, and that promise was to set up a permanent funding for the first responders of 9/11, something no other president would do.
Yeah.
And he kept the promise to them.
Yeah.
And so that they would have permanent funding for the rest of their lives. And it was a very, very big deal.
So incredibly awesome. Now, both of them, you know, Trump and Giuliani being under attack, of course. And then we got the dingling in chief who won't even show up. He said, I saw a picture of Kamala Harris in the crowd. She's they got that Clinton gaping mouth smile.
He made that famous, eh?
Let's listen to the lame excuse why President Joe Biden, who is the president, you know, if you got a gonorrhea-infested, you know, hooker and put her in the presidency, she'd be the president. Same thing. That's the equivalent. So he's the president. Let's listen to why President Biden did not, the first president ever, to not go to the 9/11 anniversary ceremony. Here it is.
Well, our focus the last couple of days has been on President Biden here in South Asia. And when I asked a White House official why it is that President Biden was here and missing the 9/11 commemorations at the attack sites, the analogy that I was given is that 22 years after Pearl Harbor, U.S. presidents were not still going to visit Hawaii.
Oh, disgusting. Disgusting. So what is he doing in Vietnam? What do you do in Vietnam?
Setting up child sex trafficking destinations and manufacturing.
They took him to the John McCain Memorial, and he bent down and kissed it. He did. And it's on video.
Songbird McCain.
And it's on video.
The guy that gave away.
Vietnam has a memorial set up for John McCain.
A memorial garden. They benefited so much from what he provided to them.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said, seems fitting. He helped them win the conflict.
Yeah. If John McCain were alive right now, knowing what I know, I would head to Phoenix and shoot him in the face. But he's not here, so.
Yeah.
And I know I'll end up on Right Wing Watch talking about
violent. Can't talk about John McCain.
Can't talk about shooting somebody who's already dead in the face. Can't do that, you know. Right. I'm just trying to get on Right Wing Watch. I like the clicks.